The European Super League was here, and now it is already gone. This week, it's episode 37 of the Goals Don't Move podcast, and we have a special guest to help us review the short-lived competition that was the European Super League. Enjoy. The Goals Don't Move podcast. It is episode 37, and what a crazy weekend. Last 48 hours, 24 hours, even the last hour has been insane. The European Super League is here, but it doesn't look like it's going to stay. But before we get into that, and yes, we will go over the Premier League games at the end, but obviously the big cloud of the European Super League is looming over everyone right now. But before we talk about any of that, James Lamb, my man, how are we doing today?
I am doing great, Philip Powell. What a 48 hours it's been. The world has been turned upside down, and it's come back around. Well, it started to come back around. It's been absolutely crazy. It's felt longer than 48 hours. It's felt like quite a long time these last 2 days. But apart from the football, Phil, mate, I've been good, you know, getting on. Bit of a selfless plug. It's a bit, well, selfish plug, actually. I've started a new blog, the Formula One, the Perfect Formula blog. So that's out and live now. Yes, bang, sir. Bang, go visit it, theperfectformulablog.com. So that's good. So it's felt quite a busy week, and then this bombshell hit us. But overall, it's been good, Phil. Felt busy, lots going on. The UK's starting to open up. People can get haircuts. As you can tell, I haven't got my hair cut yet, but things are starting to open up, so it's looking a bit, and the weather's even changed. The weather's got nicer, so it's even better. So it's been beautiful, Phil. How have you been, matey?
That's good. I've been good. Had a nice weekend, had a wedding over the weekend. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. Was very drunk on Saturday. Sunday, just very relaxing, and then, you know, just been crushing work the last 2 days. Overall, can't complain. Very happy with it. But yeah, other than that, I was very happy until Sunday, until European Super League news hit, and then everything kind of went downhill slightly. To be honest, yeah, I kind of ruined my day. I wasn't happy, especially that it was released at halftime of the Man United game. So that was quite annoying, but you know, it's not the end of the world. We're seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, it seems right now, but we've got a lot to talk about. Before we do, I mentioned on Instagram, we have a special guest with us today. It is one of James's earliest, I'd say potentially longest friends, if I'm remembering correctly, James.
That's right, baby.
That is correct.
Yeah? Yeah, it is the man, one of my great friends now, thanks to James. Oh, the I'm man, blessed. The myth, the legend, Freddie Cocker. Freddie, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
Oh my God, what an intro, boys. What an intro. I am gassed to be on this episode. I am pretty privileged to say that I gave the Goals That Move podcast its very first bit of PR and media work, thanks to James Lamb coming on the 50th episode of my podcast, Just Checking In podcast. Go check it out. And I am very excited to come up to be on this episode because I've been pretty much since the inception of this podcast, James, been asking you almost, it became a running joke after a while, I think. I almost stopped asking it seriously. Can I come on the podcast? And then it worked because last night or Saturday or Sunday, you actually asked me to come on and I was hyped.
You wore me down, Freddie. You wore me down. Yeah. So I think the invitation kept getting lost in the mail. It's that bloody Royal Mail, Fred. You know what they're like, constantly getting things wrong.
Yeah, that's the excuse you used. But hey, I saw right through your bullshit.
But Fred, you did give us some lovely bit of PR, and I think it's only right that we give it back to you. So Fred is not only
100 plus listens on that pod, by the way. Bang. 100 plus listens. Bang. Come on.
It's the Jimmy O effect.
Yes, sir.
But hey, but
we're about to get 1,000 plus on this bad boy now. I can't wait.
Oi, I'm going to bring all my followers here, man. That's at least two people.
Gas it. Let's go.
Well, here
we
go.
We've got three. That's five.
Well, so for everyone that's listening, Fred is not just a good friend of mine, good friend of Phil, and good friend of the pod.
Good friend.
All right, come on. We've just explained things, Fred. You're interrupting me already. I'm trying to give you the spiel.
Just saying,
here.
That's the first time I'm interrupting you, and the last time. Right, I'm just saying, good is an understatement.
All right, Freddy.
We told Fred he could jump in whenever, and he took it a bit too literally.
Right into his own bit of advertising. Well, here we go. Take two. All right, so Fred is the oldest friend of the pod, my oldest friend, one of Phil's oldest friends, sort of. But he's not just that. He is the founder of the mental health platform Vent. Vent is a place where everyone, but especially men and boys, can open up about their mental health issues, break down stigmas, and start conversations. And he is also the host of the Just Checking In podcast, which he mentioned just now, where he chats to people from all walks of life about their mental health, as well as anything and everything else that they are passionate about. And it's, I know both me and Phil are big advocates of Vent, does some great work. So Fred, if you want to talk a bit more about Vent now, go ahead. It's been a fantastic part of our lives the last couple of years, so go for it.
Cheers, man. I'll keep it short and sweet because this podcast is about footy. So Vent, I started in September 2017 with the aim of helping everyone, but especially men and boys that I knew and people that I didn't know, express emotions outside of hypermasculinity and things traditionally seen that men are only limited to, like violence and braggadocio and stuff like that. I wanted to show people that men are capable of every kind of emotion and every kind of emotion possible. And I wanted to give them a voice and feel like they wouldn't be judged or ridiculed for talking about their mental health, which we should all be able to do if we want to do it.
Lovely.
Fantastic.
That was short and sweet, like you said. That was perfect. I love it. I've been listening to, I won't say I've listened to every single Vent podcast, but I haven't listened to every single Goals Don't Move podcast either. Sometimes I just record and I hit mix and I send that shit off. So I have a lot of time, but I don't always listen to our podcast. But every one I've listened to of the Vent Help podcasts, or the Just Checking In podcast, sorry, I've loved. It's been great. Especially the sports series that you've been doing.
Oh, big love for that, man. I've not done too many, but the ones I've done, I hope they've been a bit different and given different people a voice on it. So yeah, I mean, I've done over 100 episodes now, so I'm not going to take any offense if you've not listened to all of them. But yeah, anyone who has listened to more than at least 10, you've got big love in my books.
So James is probably, you know, sitting at like 9, 8, or 9.
I reckon 5, a solid 5, if that. And that's one of his, and one of them will be his own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's like two of the listens as well. Times. Two of the listens.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that was phenomenal. Again, happy to have Fred here with us. Hopefully he'll be a guest again, recurring on the show. But the show hasn't even really kicked off yet. So I say we get the ball rolling, boys. European Super League. What the hell happened on Sunday afternoon? I was shook. Man, I was watching the Manchester United game and didn't know what the hell was going on. I was half asleep still because I was drunk from the night before. Halftime comes. I can't even remember what was happening. I'm hungover. Anyways, I'm hungover. Bombshell announcement goes, oh, the Premier League 2, you know, talk shit about European Super League. I'm like, okay, whatever. What is this? As the day goes on, I get on Instagram, I get on Twitter, I get on Reddit, as I do, snooping around, and my mind is just mini bombs going off in my mind. Just boom, 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 boom. European Super League. James, I told a lot of people I've been blowing up my phone. A lot of people that don't care about the Premier League, don't care particularly about soccer, and have said, or football. And I have said, what the hell is going on in soccer? What is the European Super League, James? You've got the simplest answer we could probably boil it down to. So for those of my friends and anyone else who's listening and doesn't quite know what the European Super League is, this next couple minutes is critical for the rest of this podcast. So James, if you could break it down, what exactly is the European Super League?
I can do exactly that for you, Phil. Yes, I've done a bit of research, looked into it. And so essentially, the European Football League is a proposed self-governed closed league featuring 15 permanent founder members and 5 annually invited teams who qualify from their domestic leagues, essentially, I guess, through winning it or getting first or second. The league will run midweek and it will look to replace the Champions League. I should probably say did look to run midweek and look to replace the Champions League. This is probably all moot anyway, but the clubs still intend to play in their respective domestic competitions, so it wouldn't be taken away from that. But of course, there's been some backlash from the domestic leagues around that. But the founder leagues cannot be relegated or removed from the league through performance, which for, I must admit, for me, that's the biggest part. That's the biggest absolute sellout of this whole thing. But the proposed tournament would have been split into two groups of 10, playing both home and away matches. Now, it didn't specify if you'd be playing all nine other teams in that group, but I doubt you would do. But it just said home and away matches, with the top three in each group automatically qualifying for the quarterfinals. And then the fourth and fifth place teams in each group will play a two-legged tie to determine who gets the final quarterfinal place. And then a two-legged format, like the current Champions League format, will take place until the final, which will be a single-leg game at a neutral venue. So that's the general idea around the tournament. And then in the Super League statement, in classic football style, the women's game seems to have been forgotten, but added on at the end when they just put at the bottom of the statement, a corresponding women's league will be set up as soon as practicable after the men's league is going. So that was real good, useful information from them.
Classic,
exactly. Just, oh, wait, women play football. We better write something down real quick. All right.
Yeah, gotta tack it on.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. So then, who is it? Currently, well, when I wrote this last night, the 12 founding members were AC Milan, Arsenal, Atletico Madrid, Chelsea, FC Barcelona, FC Internazionale or Inter Milan, Juventus, Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United, Real Madrid and Tottenham Hotspur. And again, as the time I was writing it, PSG, Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund and Porto had all rejected, but it's now been found out that Sevilla, Benfica, Ajax, RB Leipzig also rejected it. Now, you're probably asking, why did Dortmund and Bayern reject it? Well, the German Football League has got quite strict rules about giving too much power to individuals. It's called the 50+1 rule, which stops private investors from taking control of majority stakes in clubs, which basically means you can only make up. You can only own up to 49%, and then the 1% is the fans at least. So that's kind of the idea there. But PSG's rejection, you might think that was a bit odd on the surface, but as you would have done a bit of digging, you'd find that actually there's a bit of clarity under the surface. The owner, Nasir, has a close relationship with the president of UEFA and sits on the UEFA executive board, executive committee. And he is also the president of beIN Sports, who invested millions of pounds into the Champions League and the broadcasting. So you can imagine he'd be reluctant to create a rival league. And then finally, obviously,
there's always a reason.
Exactly, there's always a reason.
Always.
Money is usually the number one, but this time there was a little bit of, well, it's loyalty to money he's already invested. But then finally, the World Cup is being held in Qatar, and obviously PSG is owned by Qataris. So he doesn't really want to piss off UEFA and FIFA before his country's big day and get his club's players banned from that competition. That would seem rather silly. So when was it scheduled to be? The founding clubs have announced that the league would start as soon as possible. I believe it was even going to replace next year's Champions League. That's what the Super League is. I think if we want to do the timeline, like you say, I think they were going to announce it midnight Sunday, or at least midnight GMT Sunday, but it got leaked around 3 p.m. when Man United were playing. Obviously, all hell broke loose, and then the Premier League, UEFA, the Spanish divisions. Actually, I've got their quotes, which are quite good. So all the responses started coming yesterday on Monday. Once everyone, the dust had settled, obviously Neville and Carragher had their moan on Sunday night and Monday night football. But UEFA, the Premier League, La Liga, and Serie A, and their respective football associations released a joint statement on Monday opposing the Super League. And I think the best quote from the statement was, "We will consider all measures available to us at all levels, both judicial and sporting, in order to prevent this happening. Football is based on open competitions and sporting merit. It cannot be any other way." And of course, as we're a Premier League podcast, we're going to focus more on the Premier League. The 14 other clubs did meet today on Tuesday, and they basically rejected unanimously and vigorously the plans for the Super League. So as you can imagine, pretty much everyone apart from the 12 owners do not like it. I think that's
about
everything.
That wild, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Madness. Crazy.
But I hope that's explained it.
Yeah, no, I think you did a great job. I think my big thing here is obviously it's crumbling right now. So as of today, as of recording, Man City are the first team to officially pull out. Chelsea are supposed to have pulled out. Petr Cech came out, and there's a big crowd outside Stamford Bridge. Petr Cech came out and said, give us time. And within 5 minutes, Chelsea had supposedly pulled out. Ed Woodward, the chief executive of Manchester United, has resigned. Someone, a rumor, fingers crossed. Thank God, fingers crossed. Hopefully this can be true, but the Glazers now want to sell Man United. I don't know. I don't believe it. We will see. But this has caused quite the shitstorm in the football world in one of the greatest ways possible. And it's just, it's kind of gone crazy. My biggest concern is with punishment. Now, we know the story. It's a red wedding out of Game of Thrones. You know, everyone was all buddy-buddy. There were so many intertwines between UEFA and the people that were in the ESL, and just it was so secretive. They didn't tell anybody. You have your six main owners in the Premier League, the six outside, and you had snakes in the grass, as the UEFA president put it. They were literally on the board of UEFA, some of these guys. And, you know, days before they said, yeah, we're like the new Champions League proposals, as all that information came out. And then, boom, we're breaking away from UEFA. So my biggest takeaway, or the first thing I want to talk about with you both, is the punishment. And it seems different between just the Premier League and UEFA. The stance I'm getting from the Premier League is that these teams, and a lot of fans, think they should be punished for this. But the stance I'm getting from UEFA, and, you know, based on what they've done, is they're trying to put together an even bigger package to get more money into the Champions League so that these teams won't try anything like this again, as they're trying hard to keep fill the greed, you could say. What is y'all's, and we'll start with Fred. Fred, is there punishment for this? What kind of punishment should be done for, you know, literally, you could say, like, if this was, you know, some kind of military coup, almost, one of the most treacherous acts in, I'm not trying to over-dramatize it, but like one of the most treacherous acts in football you could do is say, no, we're leaving the domestic game. You're playing by yourself. We're going to go form our Super League where we can't get relegated. And we're going to make a shit ton more money than you. What's the punishment, at least domestically, in your eyes?
Can I just first say how wild it is that UEFA have like painted themselves as like the good guys in this? Like, okay. FIFA is one of the most corrupt organizations in like world history, and UEFA is pocketed with questionable stuff without me getting into legal trouble. So the fact that they've positioned themselves as some sort of like moral arbiter is an absolute joke, in my opinion. On punishment, God, you know what? I don't have a strong opinion about this, so I'll try and keep my answer short and sweet, because I think there should be some form of punishment. As an EFL fan, I'm not massively like enamored with like saying, oh, it should be this, it should be X, it should be Y. But there has to be retribution. Like, there has to be, because I think Jonathan Liu, a journalist from The Guardian, tweeted, like, he said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing, there has to be revenge for this or a punishment, because otherwise they'll just do it again. Mm. Yeah. And I think that is 100% true, because we'll probably get onto it in a little bit. This isn't the first power grab that these so-called self-styled big six, however they want to fucking call themselves, have done this. People have quite short memories. I'm surprised by the timing of this, but I wasn't shocked, because in October 2020, we had Project Big Picture, which was their power grab for the domestic game rather than in conjunction with European allies or other teams for the European game. And we'll get onto that and the context for it in a bit. But this isn't the first time they've done this. So, I mean, punishment-wise, I mean, how enforceable is it? Are you going to deduct points? Is it going to be financial? Bearing in mind, there was a, what was it? Was it a Slavia Prague player who got a 10-game ban? Was it Slavia Prague?
Yeah,
Slavia Prague player who got a 10-game ban for racism. I mean, I've seen players, I mean, like, if that's the bar, what are we doing here? So I think if I had to, you know, get, you know, my Mystic Fred hat on, I would probably say there's going to be a financial one. I would probably say there's going to be some form of points. How much, I don't know. Maybe 5 to 10. But what I think will happen is, because I don't think they'll have the bottle to do this, they'll do it at the start of next season rather than this season. I don't think they'd go, right, we're going to deduct all of you 10 points now unless you're going to win the league. It's not going to happen. In my opinion.
I agree. Now, what I'd like to see is not only a points deduction or anything along those lines this season, but also, If I'm UEFA, which they will never do because they don't have the balls. If I'm UEFA, I say, okay, any team that lost to one of these teams right now or lost in the last round to one of these teams that's in, you're now in the quarter, you're now in the semifinals. These teams have, first of all, ripped away. Real Madrid, Florentino Perez was the mastermind behind all of this.
His comments about kids on social media was so funny. Sorry to interrupt, Phil. I just found that hilarious. No,
you are fine because he had, first of all, this man who's leading it had some of the most out of touch comments, like Fred said, I've ever heard in my life. The man says 16 to 24 year olds no longer have any interest in football. Have you gone on Twitter? Well, clearly not, because the man's about 85, probably pushing 90 at this point. Old as shit, probably can't even see. Man, this is what it was ridiculous. That everything he says was out of touch about it. So he's leading this charge, right? Issue is Real Madrid are in the Champions League currently. Chelsea in the Champions League currently. Man City is still playing. PSG, who would have thought they'd be the good guys out of all of this? The rich Qataris are suddenly the good guys, who are the only non-Super League team left in this. You kick these teams out, put the other teams in. You say, you can't leave them in if you're UEFA. Real Madrid literally just said, yeah, we're going to take our 13 Champions League titles and we're going to start the European Super League with 13 European Super League titles.
That's so stupid.
It's not how it works. Not how it works, big dog. UEFA need to grow some balls. I don't think they will. The Premier League's where I think it's going to happen. James, what are your thoughts? Anything punishment-wise you think should happen? What would you like to see happen? Because you don't want to punish the fans. You want to punish the owners. The fans are not the ones. The fans have been pissed. You've seen the fans be pissed about this. The owners are the ones who had all the power and wanted to go through this in the first place. How do you punish the owners of the football club? We mentioned 50+1, which I think is genius. I don't know how it'll ever happen, but how the hell do you punish the owners?
Yeah, it's a very, very good question. I think the only way I can think of, like, you can punish the owners, and the owners only again is these, like, say, big fines. You know, they left for money. Trying, you know, hit them where it hurts. It's obviously that's their most important. That's their most, you know, important factor for them in running these clubs is money, to try and hit them where it's hardest, I would say. But I agree. Like, it's weird. Like, I think obviously Fred's probably got a bit more of a neutral perspective, being, say, because obviously we support Arsenal, Man United, two of the teams in this. But you know what I mean, Fred? Like, I feel quite conflicted.
Yeah, of course.
I feel quite conflicted, obviously, because I obviously love my Arsenal Football Club, but I've been fairly embarrassed to be an Arsenal supporter the last couple of days. But then I'm not really sure what I'm embarrassed, who I'm exactly embarrassed about, if you know what I mean? Because I'm not embarrassed of the players or say that the backroom staff and all that stuff, because I'm sure they had no consultation on this. It was in a very elite group of owners at the top of the game. So honestly, you can give Arsenal the points deduction because it doesn't matter. We're not playing in Europe next year anyway, so it does. You know, it doesn't really bother me because
that's part of the problem.
We're not getting there.
You're ninth.
Exactly. That was the thing. And if you ask my flatmates, the last couple of days I've been saying, like, what right did we think that we had to be in this Super League when we can't even get into the Europa League? You know, ninth, tenth in the Premier League. But yeah, I think
you've not been in the Champions League for 4 years, have you?
No, yeah, exactly. I don't think it's been. Yeah, it's been. Yeah, yeah, 4 years, I'd say. You know, barely scraped Europa into the Europa League.
Specialists.
And we had to win the FA Cup last year to get into the Europa League. We didn't qualify last year.
That means more than Spurs.
Yeah.
That's true.
Spurs are just getting it because they've got a big 80,000 stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the thing. It's a great thing to say, even in the Super League, at least we're not Spurs. But even this, like, fantastic, you know, this, like, massive money grabbing thing, at least we're not Spurs. They're the extra level of crap because they're rubbish. But yeah, I think you're going to have to hit them hard in the money bags. I think that's probably the only way they're going to listen. Because I agree with you. I don't know if UEFA is going to do everything. Because even now, City have released that statement. UEFA said, you know, UEFA have released nice. Oh, they've come to their senses. We welcome them back with open arms to figure out all this stuff. So, and like said, Freddie, you know, like Freddie said, UEFA and FIFA are nowhere near the good guys. It's just a lesser of two evils at this point. So, I hope there can be some. Because I must admit, have you seen the new Champions League format going forward? It is pretty crappy. So there is needs to be some. Needs some work to be done there, because it's not a good idea. So yeah, I think money bags, that's where you've got to hit them in their pockets, and maybe they'll listen, or just get rid of all of them, bring in that 50+1, and yeah, maybe do some vetting of these owners before you sell them these football clubs.
Okay, so taking a look at how we got here, It hasn't been, you know, just popped up out of nowhere. We alluded to it earlier. Fred alluded to it earlier. This European Super League didn't come out of nothing. There have been a couple of attempts over the year, but this has been easily the largest coup, again, if we're dramatizing it once again. But Fred, how exactly did we get to this point where we're seeing what we're seeing now, where this has almost gone through? We're assuming it's dead, but it's almost gone through. How did this happen?
It's a good question, Phil. So for context for the listeners, the idea of a European Super League, or just Super League in general, because this was actually called the Super League, so it could have had, you know, teams from America for all we knew, potentially. It's been rumoured and hinted at for the last decade, I would say. And I think since the Premier League money, the broadcast money, I mean, started getting more exorbitant, the Champions League took on more and more prominence, and domestic cup competitions in England began to be devalued and even sort of ridiculed by so-called top four fans, and then top six. This idea became less far-fetched in some circles. And as we've now seen, well, the owners think it was pretty realistic. So everyone's sort of seen the comments by Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool manager in 2019. He was dismissing the idea. And what ended up happening with Project Big Picture, which I alluded to earlier, was that during the coronavirus pandemic, obviously EFL clubs were losing hand over fist money because they didn't have crowds. Now, the Premier League clubs, obviously they were having financial difficulties, but nowhere near of the scale of EFL clubs, because obviously the Premier League clubs are sustained by hundreds of millions of pounds of broadcast money. So what happened was, it was reaching a crisis point, and then this Big Picture project came out. So the plan was put together by Liverpool Man United, surprise, surprise, and it would see teams in the EFL, which is the English Football League, so that's the Championship, League One, League Two, so the leagues below the Premier League, basically. They would be given £250 million right now, or at the time of what they probably proposed it, to share between themselves, plus 25% of revenue from future TV deals that the Premier League secures. In exchange, the footballing calendar would be trimmed to suit the top Premier League clubs, so the number of Premier League teams would also be cut to 18, so two would have to drop out from whenever that deal was, enacted. The EFL Cup, which is currently the Carabao Cup, was previously the Carling and the Capital One Cup, and the Community Shield would be abolished. And then this is the biggest thing I'm about to say, the so-called Big Six, surprise, surprise, Liverpool, Man United, Man City, Arsenal, Tottenham and Chelsea would also get special voting rights on certain issues, along with West Ham, Everton and Southampton, I believe. So basically they were getting a power grab. So they felt that when it came to big decisions, of lawmaking and policy in the Premier League, say, for example, there was a big thing, the 14 Premier League clubs could set the non-top six or non-top eight, whatever you want to call it, could vote against whatever they wanted, and then they would be out, and then these top clubs would be outvoted, essentially. So the EFL chairman, Rick Parry, basically decided to, in essence, go against the interests of his own clubs he managed when he said, quote, "They are frustrated that they get outvoted. How can Huddersfield have the same vote as Man United? It's called a democracy, Rick." It's called a democracy where one club has one vote, and that's the crux of it. So that pissed me off as a Huddersfield Town fan, first of all, because I just thought the audacity of him to say that as an EFL chairman. He's not even the Premier League chairman, he's the EFL chairman. Yeah. So that pissed me off. What ended up happening was a sort of a compromise deal was made, and a rescue package was found where a fund of £50 million in the form of a grant and monitor grant payments was agreed for League One and the League Two clubs, whilst the Premier League would provide a further financial commitment to assist the EFL in securing a £200 million loan facility that championship clubs will be able to utilise interest-free. So that's the context for it in the last year or so, I would say. But obviously, as we've seen, despite the fact that there was outrage of it, I don't think there was anywhere near the level of global outrage maybe national outrage for Project Big Picture. There was certainly, I think, within football circles and EFL circles, but this has become anything, you know, everyone is talking about this. You know, even people who don't like football are talking about this. It's dominated the news agenda. So it's certainly taken on a more bigger media prominence than Project Big Picture. But as we've seen, you know, it didn't stop them from having a second crack at it this time for European domination.
And they went bigger as well, which is funnier. They thought, we didn't get quite enough disapproval last time, so we're going to go real big.
Exactly. And I think the entitlement that these clubs have felt has been in some parts fueled by the sports media in certain circles. I'm not disparaging the whole media, but you know, there's the constant talk of the race for the top six. It used to be the race for the top four, and then Man City became embroiled in that conversation, and then Spurs obviously developed as a club. So the domination of coverage on these clubs, often at the expense of teams who managed to break into this monopoly. You look at these clubs, I mean, Arsenal are ninth. Tottenham are, what, a sixth or seventh, I think, seventh, at the time of recording?
Yeah. Seventh, yeah.
Seventh, okay. The only reason, for me, the only reason Tottenham are in it is because they have an American owner, a £1 billion stadium to pay for, which is 80,000 people. And that's about it, in my opinion. They haven't won a major trophy in 30 years. The last time they won a trophy was the Carabao Cup, then the Carling Cup in what, 2003, James? 2004?
God, I can't even...
Something like that. Yeah. It was under Ramos, Juan something. Oh, I can't remember his name, but anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this like arbitrary characteristics of our tradition and history that these clubs have bestowed upon themselves is, in my mind, embarrassingly arrogant and entitled. It's akin to the arguments like year nine kids make in secondary school about why their club is bigger than someone else's on the playground. So you're now seeing like fully grown men and women in their clubs sort of make these arguments and try and say that their club is deserving to be no relegation, no promotion, close shop. We do what we want. We take all the money. And it's, for me, it's a combination of how elitist a lot of the football coverage has been in the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah. And I'll even say on our podcast, you know, like, We're no angels here. We focus a lot on the top six too. That's what most people talk about. And as much as I hate saying the words top six, it's true. They're the ones that get the most media coverage. They're the ones that make the most money. They have the most fans, the most worldwide appeal. But at the end of the day, it is arbitrary. Look who's actually in the top fucking six right now. It's Man City. It's Man United. It's West Ham. It's Leicester City. And then there's Chelsea and Liverpool hanging on by a thread. Mm. And you've got Everton right outside. You've got Leeds that aren't too far down. And you got Arsenal and Spurs, you know, somewhere down there. They're toppling down. First of all, just a little joke here as well. Arsenal and Spurs in a European Super League, they're going to be finishing 19th and 20th every damn time.
That's what made me laugh. Because I saw tweets from people, and sorry to say this, James, but I saw a couple of tweets from Arsenal fans that went viral, and it was like, why do I want to see us play Burnley every week? I'm like, mate, if you went to the European Super League, you would be Burnley.
We can't even beat you Burnley. We can't even beat Burnley every Burnley. Week.
I know. And you only just about equalised against Fulham in the last minute. Right, so mate. I just feel like that statement is just so devoid of any self-awareness about where you are in the league currently. And thankfully, you know, majority of Arsenal fans I know are against it. But you just see tweets like that and just posts like that. And obviously they're not representative, but they are representative of a view that is inherently selfish and completely lacking in any sort of like respect for the English pyramid. Mm. I mean, I'll give you another example. So if this went ahead, right, how would it impact the loan system in this country? I looked at the last England squad, and how many of them have cut their teeth through loans to EFL clubs or had developed to EFL club academy. So here we go. Harry Maguire, Sheffield United in League One. Kyle Walker, also Sheffield United. Ben Chilwell, loan at Huddersfield Town. Mm. I still regard him as a bit like my son in many ways. Reece James, Wigan. John Stone started at Barnsley. Mason Mount, loan at Derby. Jude Bellingham started at Birmingham. Harry Kane had loans at various clubs, but including Millwall and Leyton Orient. Ollie Watkins started at Exeter. Kieran Trippier started at Barnsley and then went to Burnley when they were both in the EFL. Like, you could just go on and on and on. And if this happened, what would those six clubs say, oh, we're not going to loan our players to Championship clubs or League One clubs or League Two clubs anymore? Like, what's the parameters for that? Are you illegally allowed to stop that? So
I wouldn't take them. I'd say, fuck you. I'm not taking your players. 100%. You break away. That's why I'm saying punishment. 30 points down. Change the owners. It's the ultimate slap in the face to say, we're this much better than you, and now you want to come crawling back because teams are pulling out and it's not actually going to work because your players are going to get banned from playing in the World Cup and they're fucking pissed.
Yeah.
Harry Maguire's gone off at Ed Woodward. Bruno Fernandes was one of the first ones to post on social media, I don't like Liverpool, but Jordan Henderson and James Milner. James Milner's post-match interview yesterday, he's absolutely ripping them to shreds. Jordan Henderson post on Instagram. He's getting all the players, all the captains together for a Zoom call.
Rashford.
I mean, yeah.
That's when they should have been stressed because Rashford got involved.
Oh, yeah. But I'm all this to say, There should not be, okay, you can come back. No, you broke away. You 100% intended on leaving, and now you want to come back. There's got to be retribution so this never happens again. We don't want the American sports model where you're safe every single year and everyone's happy, lol, I'm making a ton of fucking money. It's not how this works. It's a big boys game. This isn't happening. It's absolutely ridiculous that they think they can go do this and come back with no form of punishment whatsoever. I mean, I don't know what you do, but if you take 30 points off every team right now, Arsenal and Spurs are in a relegation battle. Man City aren't winning the title. They might still get top four because, damn, they've been solid this season. United aren't getting close to Champions League. Mm-hmm. And if you look again at UEFA, you take all those teams out of the Champions League, you take away Man City's first chance at a Champions League title, like, really, in a couple years, they're going to be fucking pissed, and they should be. You ban these teams for 3 to 5 years from the Champions League. This is literally like some Game of Thrones Red Wedding shit. They come up and it's literally a coup. It's a coup against you. And you're not going to put the foot down. You're going to say, hey, here's more money. Sorry that we didn't treat you. No, you're treating them fine. But fuck you, UEFA, for starting your stupid bullshit pony league, whatever you want to call it, with all the 10 teams in the group stage. That's stupid. Go back. Get back to the way it was. Keep it the way things are now. You have to punish these teams, and you have to come down hard on them, because if you don't, you run the risk of this happening again. And people say, oh, what about 20 years? It's going to happen again in 5 years. Yeah. And I guarantee you, they're going to know the mistakes they made this time, and they're not going to care about the public opinion next time, because we're going to be used to it by them, teams trying to do shit like this, trying to create leagues like this. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right about the punishment, because I think what Freddie alluded to with the big, Project
Big Picture.
It started with that. So, you know, the quote about how can Huddersfield have the same voting rights as United? It's that idea that, oh, they are the football. They are better, bigger than the game. And then this is just the next step of them saying, these 12 teams is all people have to watch, are these 15 teams, to understand what football is and, you know, what football does. Like, you know, they always say no player is bigger than the team. It's the same. No team is bigger than the sport. Like Man City, in the history of football, Man City have been good for, 10 years of that out of nearly 150, 170 years of football. Like they have,
like 0.5%.
They have that history.
Yeah. The 70s, they had a good period, but apart from that.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But they have that history to fall back on. And like without that, there is no Manchester City. There are no these billion-dollar clubs. And what they're saying is actually we don't need the rest of them. Like you say, Freddie, all of these players, lots of the England players have come from either lower league teams or cut their teeth. Like Mason Mount, where would Mason Mount be without that Derby loan? Like that changed him. And obviously that gave the Frank Lampard stuff. So like you need that. No team's bigger than the sport. And to try and get rid of that pyramid is just awful. I think the relegation, non-relegation stuff is the worst thing for me. But I think, Phil, I think you're right. I think I can see them punishing them for next season, because if they punish them, say, for this season, Arsenal getting relegated if we docked 30 points. You know what I mean? We're going down to the Championship. But I can see I can see them docking points next year, then them having to like get back up the league and maybe not getting into those Champions League spots and all that sort of stuff. I think that was probably what's going to happen, because they don't want to hurt them too much, give them a little smack on the wrist. Because what I don't want them to do is not punish them, because then it's proving that they are bigger than the sport. Do you know what I mean? Or they are the sport. Because they come back and say, oh, we're really sorry. Because then it just proves that the Premier League, UEFA, FIFA, they need these teams. So there needs to be some sort of punishment. Or like you say, they can just do it again. They'll figure out, actually, this is not how we did it. We didn't do this properly last time, but we'll try and do it better this time. Maybe they'll add an extra team in. It'll be 6 teams next time can be brought into the league, all that sort of stuff.
They couldn't even own their shit. No, exactly. See the press releases?
Yeah.
They wrote it as if they were like announcing like a random news story, like in the canteen or something.
It's ridiculous. Joke.
But we just got some breaking news on our WhatsApp group from a friend of the pod, Dylan, saying that all English teams have now pulled out of the ESL. So not just City and Chelsea, it's all of them.
God save the top six, but punish them first.
Oh, mate, these chairmen are going to be stressing for those press conferences in the next week. I mean, they're not going to show. They're not going to answer any questions, but like the managers... No.
Do you think the
who'd be a fly on wall for that?
Do you think the Woodward resigning is going to just start an exodus, and they're all the chairmen or whatever going to go? Do you think it goes? Do you think the owners will be the scapegoat, or the people down below, the one road down, are going to get the ones that are going to be fucked?
Go ahead, Fred. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Phil. I truly do think if you're going to, like, for Man United fans, this could be the biggest positive of their lives. Well, ownership wise, because this could actually I genuinely think this could actually force the Glazers out.
Mm. If the Glazers' whole entire plan since they bought the club was to either get more power in the Premier League or make this European Super League, now they know it's not happening, especially if they get the punishment. They know it's not happening. Now is the time. Like, cash out. You've probably quintupled your fucking stake in the club since you bought it.
I think if you sell United, how much money are you going to get for that?
Well, it all depends. Are you doing a 50 plus one? You know, if you sell United direct to another owner, I don't know. You got to have Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, someone like that.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it? What, 2 billion you're looking at?
Yeah, I think it's close.
I think you can get these, you know, but that's the thing. The problem is if you're going to get these consortiums or these groups of teams or groups of investors, that's where these big funds come from. It's not individuals, isn't it? And that's probably been the problem this whole time.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, the guys who have that much money are pretty shady and scummy guys. You can tell. Like, I mean, look what's happened. So that's not who you want running it. I just think, you know, where do we see going forward? Yeah, this could be the best day, one of the best days in United history, like Fred said. This could be awesome for us. And I'm excited to see where the future goes. I hope we get in trouble. I hope all the top six teams get in trouble because they deserve to. And, you know, if that means a couple seasons of us, you know, even though we're so close on the cusp of greatness again, I feel like if this is what it takes for the Glazers to leave, then so be it. And what kind of punishment we get, that's what happens. That's the end all be all for me. I'm happy if they're gone within reasonable time, I'm happy. And I think with Woodward gone, they will be. So fingers are crossed for that.
That's a statement right there.
Oh yeah. I'm a big statement guy.
I heard Conor McGregor's interested in buying United.
I looked at.
Mate, I'm sick of these people clout chasing. Stop making clout chasing off this topic. Stop clout chasing, Connor. Stick to your sport.
I did look up his net worth because I was interested because I saw that too, and he's only worth 120 million. So, thanks, Connor, but no thanks. I'll buy a small stake in United.
Feeding off those algorithms.
I'll spend $5,000 and buy a small stake in United. Would be cool. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, look, going forward, like you said, with these chairmen, do we see them gone? It's almost like I keep referring to it as a coup. At the end of the day, these are the guys that tried to fuck you over, and you're going to have them right back to these meetings with you. You're going to have them sitting next to you at the beginning of the year next year. If you're the other 14 clubs that weren't involved in this, you're happy with these guys that tried to fuck you over just coming to the beginning of the league meeting with you next year and sitting next to you like nothing ever happened. You're just going to hold hands and sing kumbaya. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. I think they're going to be forced out. I think it's going to be bloody. It's like when a country tries to have a revolt and, you know, it gets quashed. What happens? The leaders of that revolt get killed. At least historically we've seen. I don't think anyone's going to die, but I do think these guys will be removed from their positions. And I do think, you know, I don't know if it'll get to the point of owner selling. I hope it does, but I think that's what we're going to see. So, you know, if you agree with that, disagree, I just want to get your feelings too.
I'm a bit more skeptical than you, Phil. I think some of the chief execs might go. I think that some members of the hierarchy might go. The only ownership that I see changing is Man United's. I think that Spurs, well, they literally can't afford to change ownership right now. Daniel Levy's got a pretty iron grip on that club. Is the owner something Lewis? What's his first name?
Yeah, it's
Spurs, the American.
I think his last name's Lewis. I don't know what the first name is.
I can't remember his first name. Yeah, but I don't think he'll be selling up anytime soon. I think John W. Henry's not going to be selling Liverpool anytime soon. I mean, we almost became out of date by the time we started recording this. So by the time I say this, who knows? Three of the clubs might have sold up by now. But
yeah, I think the Arsenal owners.
Roman might question it, like Abramovich. I think there's been rumors that he, you know, all the stuff that in the last few years about him not going to Stamford Bridge as often, or maybe becoming not as enamored with Chelsea anymore. That could potentially be one. But the fact that Chelsea pulled out of it so quickly, they're obviously very scared of the fan reaction. I'm probably more skeptical than you, Phil, of change apart from Man United when it comes to ownership.
I really think like chief executives, you'll see changing ownership. I think hopefully Man United, and we'll see, you know, unless it's government force, which we're not going to get into right now, then I don't think it's going to be, I don't think ownership will change that.
Who's going to buy them? We've just come out of a pandemic.
I can. Yeah,
I'm sure someone's profited off this pandemic.
Yeah.
The owners of Zoom are going to buy all five teams. That's what's going to happen. But no,
the owners of House Party.
Yeah, House Party. they'll put a virus in it and all, and it'll be fucked up. But I must admit, in all seriousness, I can see the Arsenal owners, the Kroenkes, maybe being forced out. There's been a long period of of disputes with the owners. You know, a lot of Arsenal fans have been unhappy with the lack of funds being put into the club and how they seem to be very distant owners, which they are. So I know there's a protest going on a Friday before the game. I can't remember who we're playing. Everton, I believe we are. So I think
you're going to be there.
I'm not. Unfortunately, I'm not around. But I know a few people. I know a few people that will be, and I'll be on FaceTime. I'll be there FaceTiming. Be there in spirit. But But no, I can see the Kroenkes maybe just deciding to give up the ghost because there's been maybe more hassle than it's worth. And if they're not making the money, which they probably thought they were from the Super League, obviously we turn over a little profit, but maybe not as profitable as they thought they would be. So I can see Kroenkes maybe leaving, or maybe that's just me hoping they do because it's been pretty shitty. So, but yeah, I agree that maybe not so. I think everyone's looking for this seismic change and this massive like reaction when probably in a week's time we're all going to forget about it and oh, Champions League's on, we'll watch that again. Do you know what I mean? So it can go either way. Not. Yeah, so do I. I hope that something does happen. At least with bringing in some actual independent decisions. And obviously UEFA and FIFA, it's going to be hilarious because they're going to be like, oh, look how good we are now. And then suddenly the spotlight's probably going to go on them, and hopefully people realize that they're also shitty and actually proper changes need to be made. Everyone consulted and worked out. Because I think the thing I think about is that the money's there. Like, the money's always going to be there because the football is the biggest sport in the world. Surely the money's going to be there. The cap must be a way that greed and all this sort of crap, because again, like, it's funny, greed from billionaires is just the stupidest sort of greed. Like, these are the most privileged people in the world, so surely there must be a way of cascading money down properly that works for the game, but also profit, you know, it still can be profitable, because surely the money is endless for football. It's only ever gone up. And
Premier League has too much power.
Do you think that's what it is? I just don't see that. It's not, the money's not going away. Yeah, it's going to be
has
there.
Too much power. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I not, agree. I mean, that financial package that was eventually agreed was like pretty last minute. Mm. And the trickle down effect on EFL clubs from the Premier League it's been a little bit, but it's not been amazing. And then you also had the pushback of, I think if you guys both remember, like, some owners, I think Steve Parish, the Crystal Palace chairman, said something along the lines of, if you're a Sainsbury's, why should you have to bail out the corner shop down the street, or something along those lines? I'm paraphrasing. Mm. But it's like, well, there's going to be resistance to that. And the EFL clubs who have got into the Premier League are now obviously reluctant, or as they probably would because it's in their self-interest, they're reluctant to give up that share of the big lottery jackpot that they got. I mean, I'm pretty pissed off that we managed to fuck it up as a club. And it feels like the Premier League basically didn't happen for us because we're so shit right now. But, you know, for those clubs who have a sustainable model and they can get that money and profit off it and build a legacy, then why would you want to give more of that money to EFL clubs if you're an individualistic owner of a club in the Premier League? Mm. That's sad facts.
Yeah.
It is sad facts. If I was a greedy asshole, I wouldn't give any money away either, but I'm not. Mm. But I also don't run a club, so I can't help.
Yeah. Well, but Phil, I'm going to quickly ask your opinion, actually, because obviously we're fans of the NFL, which is obviously a franchise league, these owners. But I feel with NFL, the owners, the vast majority of them at least, do have vested interest in the clubs, or at least are. I know Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, is a massive lifelong Patriots fan. There are owners in these. So the franchise, what I'm trying to say is the franchise model can work in the respect that they still can be part of the community and they have these active owners. I just wondered what your thoughts on the whole franchise model versus, say, like the European model of football. Like, what are your thoughts on it? Would you think there are a positive, negative, or, you know, what do you think about it?
Look, it works for the NFL and it works for the NBA, but you also see things in these leagues that I would never want to see happen in Europe. And I'd say it's because they're the teams, like NFL's, you know, a bit newer than say football or anything like that. So is the National Basketball League. Like, NFL teams get relocated. other than, say, MK Dons, I believe it was. You would never see that happen.
That was one of the worst things to happen for a lot of people, especially Wimbledon fans. That was like Judas betrayal level stuff in our country.
As it should be. There's good things that come with franchises. You know, in terms of NFL, they do, just like soccer clubs, they do a lot of good work in the community. I don't really know. I like the franchise model for the NFL, the NBA. It seems to work fine. Maybe because the talent pool isn't as big. You don't have an entire world of people trying to play your sport. Mm. You've got less competition. Don't get me wrong, it's insanely competitive, but you've got the NFL is only operating in the United States. You don't have people from all around the world trying to come play in the NFL like you do in numbers, like you do in the Premier League and stuff like that. That might be why it works a little bit better. Same with the NBA. Of course, it's a little bit more global, but you've got, you know, you don't have these crazy leagues. You've got like the NFL and then other leagues that nobody watches. Well, over in Europe, the European model, you've got all these different leagues and teams and crazy stuff. So yeah, I think franchise works fine and in the United States, but to do that to an entire continent, the continent of crazy, absolutely insane. And, you know, I don't know, just fundamental wise, if it's something that wouldn't be accepted, you know, I'm all for, like, even the MLS over here is franchised. There's no relegation. There's no promotion. And I'm all for soccer being the same, football being the same across the board. I would love to see the European model in the MLS light a fire under some owners' asses in the MLS, actually get you to invest in the team, make them perform well in the MLS. That'd be great. But no, you see what this franchise model brings. Sometimes, you know, the downsides, you see the complacency in the franchise model. You see the teams that are consistently awful. Mm. Like before this year, like the Browns, the Detroit Jets. Lions are never good in the NFL.
Well, you have that whole like suck for the next, you have like, was it like you suck for the next
tank for the draft?
Tank for the draft, exactly.
Yeah.
And you, well, that's the thing, like you become that. Deliberately bad to get the first pick. Yeah.
And you know what? You wouldn't be deliberately bad because there wouldn't be a first fucking pick for you to get if you're getting relegated.
Yeah, true.
So you could say teams of the last day that are going to get relegated are fighting tooth and nail. Teams of the last day that are last place in the NFL don't give a shit. That's the real difference here. I mean, among a couple others I've already mentioned. But yeah, I think the franchise model works fine for the NFL. It's not going to change. Do I think the franchise model works good for European soccer? Absolutely not. Probably the worst thing. but it's good for different things. It's fine for NBA, NFL. Keep soccer, football in Europe the way it is. There's no point it should move to that, especially with how expansive and global it's becoming and how competitive it is. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And you don't want to take money away from all the other teams. So
yeah, agreed. Yeah,
sorry for my long spiel.
No, spot
but
on.
That's my answer. Mm.
And the MLS is a developing league as well. So I don't think you would want to have relegation right now until it got to a stage where there was demand from, you know, new emerging clubs wanting to come in. And then you could say, right, okay, we've got enough clubs to create maybe two leagues. And then you can have relegation into the bottom league. And then you can have MLS as the top league maybe, or something like that.
My only problem with that now, and you know what, I do see that happening in the future, hopefully, but you're running on like 32, I believe, clubs in the MLS right now, which is ridiculous. That's so many clubs to have.
That's a lot.
That's like NFL model. There's 32 teams in the NFL. I want to say there's 30 teams in the MLS. You're just running into that kind of scenario. So
I mean, you could have two divisions of 16, surely. And then relegation.
They just have conferences, Fred. That's what they do. They split it that way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The owners would never be about that because you're in the franchise model already. If you go to a franchise model, you're not going back. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't think the MLS will ever change it.
Yeah. Well, especially like,
that's my take.
Especially in like the NFL, like the owners are like on like competition committees and things. Like the owners have so much power over it. Actually, what happens in the game as well. It's not just about owning a club as well, isn't it? So it's like,
so they're like legislators as well. They're like gamekeepers as well as the Tiger.
Yeah,
basically.
And then if a club is sold for a new owner to buy the club, it has to be vetted. They have to be approved by the other owners. Yeah.
Yeah. That could be good for the Premier League. But again, given how shitty all the Premier League owners seem to be.
I mean, that happened with Newcastle and the top well, there's, I mean, I don't know how true it was, but there was definitely some sort of influence by the top six clubs saying we don't want Newcastle to be taken over by an extremely rich backer, no matter how questionable that backer might have been.
Yeah.
I mean, however questionable Man City's current we can get into any of that information. But no, I think that's in a good spot right now. I think franchise in the NFL can stay how it is, NBA stay how it is, and keep Europe how it is.
Yeah, but I guess it's just different morals of how the sport started, I guess. Because I feel like European football, it's developed over time. But I think American football, it's obviously developed as well, but it kind of had that, like you say, it had that model to start with. Maybe it's different way, different club. Obviously, football clubs are more thing of working man's club, started by, you know, unions and things back in the 1800s. It's a different model in the States, so I guess. And that's the thing. It's just like, I think that's what maybe got quite a lot of people angry. It just showed how disillusioned and how out of touch, or how out of the game, or how the picture these owners really are, thinking you can just, because it works here. For especially like Kroenke, he owns I know he owns the LA Rams. I think he owns the Denver Nuggets as well. Like, he has these other franchises. Yep. So he's like, if it works there, it must be working here as well. So I think that was the thing for me. I think that's probably maybe open quite a lot of people's eyes to show that actually how little these people actually care about the clubs and care about the game. And that's probably what's been most eye-opening.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. But hey, they just want the money. Fred, anything else to add? I think we covered a lot, but unless there's something I am missing, and I'll feel like an idiot if I am, but anything else to add before we talk about...
No, I think you've covered everything, Phil. I'm happy to move on and chat some more rubbish and breeze about some football.
Yeah, well, that's for everyone listening. That was our European Super League wrap-up, deep dive, whatever you want to call it.
I felt that was great.
Pretty good, James.
I think it summed up the Super League. It was quite long, but felt quite short, a little bit chaotic times, not sure what's going on, but we got there in the end. And when we got to the end, we've all agreed that it's rubbish. Boom.
Well, yeah, I just wanted everyone to be able to give their opinion, and we all know that it sucks. So that's what matters at the end of the day. The Super League sucks ass, and right now, thank God, fingers crossed, looks like it's not happening.
Yes, yeah, that does look like happening.
That's the Super League. I'm sure we'll have another update next week when hopefully this thing has collapsed and all the owners have been sacked and Manchester United are starting off in the eighth tier of English football, the Vanarama North. Excited.
They're playing FC United of Manchester.
Yeah.
The breakaway club.
And losing, hopefully.
Forget Stoke. Yeah, it's FC United of Manchester on a Tuesday night. That's the real game.
Pwah.
You know what? I was thinking, I'm sure no one else did this, but I was like, if something happened and I couldn't support Manchester United anymore, who would I watch? And two teams came to mind.
Huddersfield Town and...
Huddersfield Town did not come to mind. A team and the league came to mind. Leyton Orient were about to be my new team, and I had... But the problem is I had no idea if I can even watch Leyton Orient on TV. Maybe not. My second option was going to be to become a huge fan of the Dutch League because they seem pretty fucking cool. I like the Dutch League. That or like I was going to become an FC Basel fan in Switzerland.
FC Basel? Why FC Basel?
Why FC Basel?
I don't know, dude. There's something cool about
it. It's a nice kit.
I like their logo.
It's a nice kit.
It's a
very nice kit. Mm.
And they're neutral as hell. Like, it's Switzerland. I know that's going to be the most competitive league. It's Swiss. They're very neutral. It's going to be competitive as hell. Open every year. Great title race.
Nil-nils everywhere.
Yeah.
No, 1-1. Come on. You got to let everybody score. A little offense, a little defense.
I think I'd have to succumb finally to Freddie's taunts of the years. Why don't you support your local clubs? I think I'd have to go to Leyton Orient as well,
we're gonna tear up Leighton
if I gave up Arsenal and then just picked someone else, like picked Fulham, Freddie would be fuming.
I'd be fuming.
Yeah, I would be fuming.
Pissed. Leyton Orient were technically my local club for like 2 months, so that's why I picked Leyton Orient.
Yeah,
I wasn't gonna pick
they are my second
Wickham.
Team
Wickham had a slight
Wickham.
I was almost Wickham. I was almost thinking Wickham because I've seen him play, but no, yeah. They lost when I saw him play. So no,
I'd have to do. I have to give at least shout out to Blackpool as well because that can't be given off away my dad's club as well.
True.
Have to get that in.
Yeah.
I'd feel less pissed off if you supported Blackpool, to be honest, James, because that is a family connection, despite how much of a fair weather supporter your dad is.
That's a whole other podcast. Really,
Chris doesn't listen to this pod.
Nah, he doesn't.
Yeah, is Chris going to listen?
I highly doubt it.
You got to get Chris to listen.
He's not a new media sort of guy. He's not a podcast sort of guy.
Chris, you're going to listen to this episode. I'm going to make sure James makes you listen to this episode. So this is me saying, what's up? I miss you, Chris. Hope you have a great day. You better listen. He better listen now, James.
I'll play that. I'll play that 5 to 10 second clip to him.
James will just show. He'll just play that 5 seconds.
Yeah. Phil says hello.
Good. As long as Chris hears this message, I'm a happy man. And Linda, shout out Linda. Okay, that's enough. But seriously, shout out Chris and Linda. They're awesome. All right. To end, we have Premier League. I mean,
forgot about that, didn't we?
We'll just run through it. I don't really. Oh. Mourinho got sacked. Oh, what? Jose Mourinho's gone. I forgot about that. Yeah. The Spuds sacked Mourinho. It happened. Who cares at this point? No, honestly, he's gone. Like, I'll talk about that next week. That's a lot.
Yeah, mate. Well,
I do want to hear Freddie's. Freddie is a accent master. So, Freddie.
No pressure,
Phil. Please. Could you please give us your, no pressure, just your best Mourinho?
I'll do the quote that he said when he first came into the press conference in England when he said, please, I'm going to let everybody know that I do not call me arrogant, but I am not of the bottle. I think I'm a special one.
I love it. Freddie is the accent mastermind. He's unreal. He's got them all. He's going to upload them all onto a podcast one day.
Maybe one day, Phil. Not now. Maybe
in the near future. And we all can't wait to hear it.
I prefer not to speak.
There we go. Anyways, Mourinho got sacked. James, do you even care at this point?
I must admit I completely forgot about it, but I do care because it's great that only Spurs would fire their manager the week of the chance of winning the trophy. And it was quite funny because we were talking about this upstairs and we thought that they fired him just so that if he did win the trophy, because they wanted to fire him afterwards, they fired him before. So just if he did win it, he wouldn't have that over them to say, well, I was the first manager, you know, in so how many years to win you a trophy. So I'd like to think they got rid of him now. But then they'll lose the final as well because they're a shambles. So, yeah, it's a sad day because I think this could be the end of Mourinho in the Premier League. His time has come to a very short end. I thought he'd at least get, you know, a couple years in before the Chelsea effect happens and the players turn against him. But that seems to have happened much earlier than expected. So, I'm good riddance to Spurs because I hope it throws them into some sort of disarray. Even more than they already are, but I'll be sad to see him go. Weirdly, he's been the Spurs manager. He's actually I've endeared himself more to me through the Prime Video, whatever that's called, All or Nothing, and things like that. So it'd be a sad day to see him go. But I don't think we're going to see him back in the Premier League unless he takes over West Brom and tries to get him promoted.
It's ironic because it's the manager who they hired him as the manager to win trophies and they sacked him before their next big chance of winning a trophy.
Yeah. And you'd think on a one-off game, Mourinho could have a tactic to like actually win them that game.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I'd long ball to Harry Kane all day.
I think he's living off legacy now, though. Like, when I see people, like, when I saw the press about him getting sacked, and I just saw, like, a few pundits going, well, he's a great manager, you know, he's done this, he's won things at every club he's been at. And I was like, well, how long are you going to keep saying this for? Like, really? I mean, Chelsea, yes, Man United, he won the two trophies. He probably did pretty well getting them to second with that squad. But then he just, I mean, I think his management, he's not evolved. And his management style, I think, is just outdated now. You can kind of get away with, like, you know, calling a player a dickhead in training to, like, send a rocket up him for so long. And then after a while, when you just start chucking your players under the bus, when someone asks you, like, what's the difference between this team and Man United? And he says something along the lines of, Same manager, different players. And it's like,
oh, well, this is when he was like, when they were saying about they kept giving away leads. He was like, why? What's happened? What's the difference between now and before when you weren't giving away leads? Yeah.
I'm just like, well, you just can't get away with chucking your players under the bus every press conference now. Like, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
If you expect to like keep the dressing room.
And I feel like the play is so negative as well. Like, oh, you always associate Mourinho with like parking the bus and like going for that 1-1 draw, whatever, that 0-0 draw. But like, it feels like it's overly negative now. Like, he's like, it's this, you can't do that anymore in the Premier League because teams score so many goals that you need to score goals. And like, they eventually, teams, if you invite pressure, teams are eventually going to score on you, and it just doesn't quite work anymore. But it just feels overly.
It's not been a strategy that's working anyway.
No.
Like, they've been defensive, but they're still doing. Their defense is still pony. Like, I've never seen Davinson Sanchez play this badly.
Yeah.
As someone who had to watch Mourinho for like 2.5 years, damn, that was tough. But at the end of the day, no, I completely agree. I think he'd do well somewhere in Italy, where maybe and we're not tactics guys here whatsoever. But like, you see a manager like Antonio Conte is doing well in Italy, and you'd say he plays a little bit more defensively. Maybe he can still cut his teeth there. I'm sure, unless he's going to, well, he can't go back to Inter. I don't know who's going to want him in Italy. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, time in the Premier League's probably done. He's not going to go play for Arsenal now after coaching for Spurs. He's definitely not going to go coach for Man City after coaching for United. Can't go back to Chelsea, and Liverpool definitely don't want him, I wouldn't think. Mm. You know, maybe we can see him at maybe I wouldn't go to a mid-table unless he's like going to Wolves, maybe, because
his wages, got the
Portuguese connection.
He's living off severance pay at this point. Like, he's just cashing in on every severance package.
I don't blame him. I would be too. But I think Mourinho's next move might be like coaching a national team, because we know, like you mentioned earlier, those one-off games he's good at. One-off tournament, maybe we could see. Mm. We could win. I mean, he's won the Champions League in the past with Porto, but I don't want to give him too much credit. Like you said, Fred, too much of that old credit coming up undeserved now. Got to pay the
that
rent.
Was 20 years ago now.
The rent for Mourinho.
How sad is it going to be when he ends up managing like Suriname or like Latvia or like some national team that's absolute dross, and he's just gone there because he gets offered it on clout? Yeah. That's going to be, I'm actually going to feel sad when that happens. I mean, if that happens, but I can see it in like 10, 15 years' time. He goes on Monday Night Football, he does the press to go, I want a job, like Pochettino did. And then, like, someone comes calling, and it's Andorra. And it's like, and he comes out with the press, and they're like, oh my God, we've got Mourinho.
I kind of want him to, like, whip Andorra into shape, though, and get them to their first major tournament ever. Like, he somehow pulls out the golden generation of Andorran football. And just like, yes. But they play like 8-1-1 and get to a tournament and smash it. They score 4 goals and win the tournament.
Like, I used to take India. You take India and FIFA and just make them powerhouse in every tournament. It was awesome. It was great. That was nuts. That'd be Mourinho. I hope it's Mourinho.
You can see it happening though, can't you? You can see it happening. Oh, yeah. I've got a vision in my head. Yeah.
100%. As far as Premier League goes, happy to run through the fixtures real quick, and we can just make a quick couple comments. We're already at 1:10, which is crazy, but I want to point something out. Every single team, except my Manchester United, who I'm upset at right now and thought about disowning over the weekend, that was in the European Super League, either drew or lost. No, they all drew. Chelsea drew 0-0 with Brighton, and Brighton had a red card. Liverpool drew 1-1 with Leeds. Man United beat Burnley 3-1. Arsenal drew 1-1 with Fulham, and Everton drew 2-2 with Tottenham. So you really want to be in your own European Super League and you can't even beat any of the teams you're playing this weekend? Come on, man. That's awful. All right, let's just get right into it. Everton 2-2 Tottenham. This is probably what put the nail in Mourinho's coffin at the end of the day, along with other factors that we've mentioned. Mourinho being the only European Super League manager to ever be sacked, funny enough.
What a stat. Fred, if he does punditry, that's what's going to be written underneath his name.
Yeah, honestly, sign him up now. Be in sports, get on the blower. Phil needs a job.
I need it right now. Tottenham scored 2, Harry Kane scoring both. Harry Kane's been on an absolute rip this season, looking like he's going to win the Golden Boot. Congratulations. But Everton come back late. and get it going. Or no, sorry, they scored in the 62nd. I'm blind as hell. It doesn't matter. Everton outplayed Tottenham, and this is a team that wants to be in the goddamn European Super League. No, not having it. Newcastle beat West Ham, probably the biggest blow. Jesse Lingard, though, scores a penalty. Good to see it. Issa Diop scores for both teams. Congratulations, Issa Diop. He has an own goal. Who cares? No comments on that game, except that's going to make it real tight, boys. That's going to make it real tight for West Ham trying to beat Chelsea into those top four spots.
It's that end of relegation stuff as well. It's that end of relegation stuff as well. Newcastle winning.
Yeah. No, you know what? I won't say it's end of relegation just yet, just because we've still got, it most likely is, but we still got Brighton, even though they gained a point today. And whoever the hell else is down there, Fulham could still make a run, but I think it's pretty much, I don't want to get into it. I'm heartbroken. We had a really good relegation race set up, and it all got shat on in the span of 2 weeks.
Isn't your bet so fine, though, now, Phil? Didn't you say Fulham would be definitely relegated?
I said
they'd be last. Yeah, oh, you said they'd be last. Okay. That's another thing. Sheffield United have got like 12 points, and no one's talking about how shit they've been. When we were shit and we had 15 points, we were the butt of every comparison shit banter tweet from every two Bob journalist in the fucking industry. All right? No one's saying, I mean, I love Sheffield United. I was so gassed when they got promoted, but no one's saying anything. Everyone's just ignoring them. I'm sick of it. They deserve all the smoke.
I'm ignoring the hell out of Sheffield United. I'm not even kidding, because every time I look, I just see L. And I don't even care anymore. It's just like, that's what I expect from Sheffield United. That's all I got. West Ham making it tough. I don't know. Wolves tweet of the year, maybe. Not tweet of the year, but they changed their bio to Premier League champions 16 or 18, 19. It's probably too late for a parade. It is probably too late for a parade. But funny enough, Wolves would have won because they came in seventh with those top six in front of them. If somehow they got, take all the titles away, just do it. Give it to
seven
Wolves.
Out of 10 banter, I would say.
Yeah.
It's up. I give mate personally. James, Arsenal, Fulham, sad. I mean, good, you know, at the end for Arsenal, but still, dude. You got to take 97 minutes to draw Fulham. That's sad for Fulham. That was heartbreaking for Fulham.
But that was the one thing I was going to say. I was celebrating a 97th minute equaliser against a basically already relegated team at home. Just sums up our mentality at the moment. Fantastic.
I love it. I love that y'all celebrated that. That was wonderful.
I was hoping for those Scott Parker videos. Do you know the one when he gets dubbed over to the streets? Yeah, and it's just like, I was hoping for one of them. That was what I was waiting for. Yeah, obviously, we will live in a world where, and I was just going to go, dry your eyes, mate. I was just hoping for like the next press conference.
I feel there's an E17 track over the top of one of his now. Stay now. No, him, they get relegated.
Oh, is there? That, no, I need
I
to find
the one being, you know, I can imagine the one being one of him crying. Just stay now. Won't you stay?
The only, I don't have any contribution to these games. So I only watch the FA Cup first half of the Leicester game. The only contribution I have is whenever Everton play, I always just do a Carlo Ancelotti impression, because I watched an interview once where his English was really broken, and it was going, well, when a very good moment, when we're playing very well, which them to be? And I was just like, he was just spouting out words because he couldn't construct the sentence. So now I just call him, which of them to be?
Which them to be?
Yeah, which them to be?
I love it.
I love Carlo. Carlo's the boy, man.
Yeah, man.
He is Don Ancelotti, big mafia dude. I'd work for him in a heartbeat, dude.
Mate, like, I'd run through brick walls for him, man. 100%.
If he told me to kill somebody, they're dead. 100%. No doubt in my mind. I'm killing them. Shit, I'll take the fall for him too. They're gonna be like, "You do it, Don." They'll be like, "No, it was me. I shot him." Give me no evidence because I did the crime perfectly.
You'll take the M charge, Phil, straight up.
Straight up. I'll tell him how I did it too. I'll be like, "Yeah, this is step by step. This is how I killed him." Don Ancelotti, he's off free. I'm getting life in prison. Doesn't matter. All right, Man United beat Burnley 3-1. Mason Greenwood, wonder kid, love it. Leeds United 1-1. Liverpool, possibly the most upvoted goal I've ever seen on Reddit, because that's what I do. I look at Reddit when Leeds scored. Llorente scored in the 87th minute. That was like, this is for football. Also, great quote I forgot to mention, which which kind of quote of the revolution was Bruno Fernandez, dreams can't be by, because he doesn't speak English. He speaks good English.
Just got that. Oh, wow.
Dreams can't be by. So dreams can't be by.
Oh, poor absolutely guy, hilarious. Man. I can't.
Got it screenshotted. No. I love it. I love
that's
it.
Like if no anything. Regrets, isn't it? That's like no regrets.
It's authentic. Yeah, it's authentic. That's what it is.
The movement was tattooed with dreams can't be by, which was amazing. I loved it. That was the chef's kiss at the end of it, was dreams can't be by. So that's great. And then Chelsea drew Brighton today, 0-0. All these European Super League teams just choking this weekend, sucking, love to see it. Doesn't matter. But that's my wrap on the Premier League. I wanted to keep it short and sweet since we're already at 80 fucking minutes. And I feel like I love Fred being here, but I feel like I've already cursed more with Freddie Cocker being on this podcast than I have in any other fucking podcast.
I apologize, you know. Boys.
Brings it out. Brings him out.
You bring the great energy.
I can't swear on my own podcast that much, so it's great I can do it on here.
Yeah, we'll say what you want. Say anything right now.
God, just swear. Like just chucking a few fucks and just, bollocks yeah, for effect.
Yeah, like, call James a name.
No, I wouldn't do that. He's invited me on, Matt. It's a privilege. Yeah. I can't be cussing him out on here, just in the WhatsApp group.
All right, who's Huddersfield Town's biggest rivals?
Leeds, mate.
All right, well, go out.
I don't want hate. What I will say is that I'm sick and tired of this like obsession with Bielsa. I heard pundits saying, who are we to question Marcelo Bielsa? Oh. What do you mean, who are we to question?
Marcelo Bielsa ain't done jack. He got Leeds promoted. That's about it.
He's a good manager. Yeah, cool. He's not like God.
Yeah, he's not God.
Relax.
No, stop. You're not God. Like, chill. I 100% agree. Man. This is the manager that spied on Derby County's training. This is the same manager. And they're like, allegedly. Oh, we must bow down. We must bow down. Well,
allegedly, he admitted it. Chill, he openly admitted it.
Oh, did he admit it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, just cheated. Yeah, but that was me.
To be fair, this is also the same manager that used football manager tactics to explain to a bunch of journalists what he was planning on doing. So
yeah, that's the only part I kind of rate. Like, I actually kind of rate him for doing that. But the rest of it, it pisses me off because when we talk about elitist here, yeah, how many times do you hear pundits go, oh, yeah, Leeds, they deserve to be in the Premier League. Mm. What do you mean? Why?
Oh, God.
Oh, Aston Villa, yeah, they deserve to be in the Premier League.
It's because of their history. That's
you're a championship
said.
Club.
They would say they're a historical big club, don't they? Which is just...
Oh, it pisses
nothing
me off,
to do with
man. So much. That's why I want Barnsley to get promoted. I want Barnsley. I want Brentford. I want all those men in the Premier League. Mm. Brentford keep bottling it. They are called the Spurs of the championship by some people. You know, they're living up to that basically right now because they keep bottling top two. It's annoying me because they play the best football. But
Brentford, quickest burger in the football league.
You get to see him again.
Yeah, Brentford, quickest burger in the EFL, according to James Lamb. Yeah.
Straight up the stairs. Old ground, of course. Between the houses, up the stairs, on your right, bang, quickest burger.
You know who I want to go see in the EFL who's not in the EFL anymore? Or in the championship who's not in the championship anymore? I want to go see Norwich. I have a soft spot.
It's a good ground, Norwich. Nice. Been once. We lost 3-0. Great day. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Millwall, Phil, because I'll happily bring you to a Millwall Huddersfield game.
Well, dude, I'll go see Millwall. I'm just scared I might get
Millwall's an experience.
Yeah, you might have to disguise your accent.
Yeah.
You have to, oi, mate, I'm from London.
Building
a Scottish accent, Phil, but
you've got to build in a couple of hours after the game's finished for Millwall, just to make sure that you know the fans don't attack you and you can get back to the station. Okay, so you've got to build in a couple of hours leeway.
Here's a funny story. I once went to Millwall West Ham, right? Because some of my mates were West Ham fans and they took me to Millwall West Ham. This was when Millwall and West Ham were in the championship. And I was sitting there and there was a guy next to me and he must have been in his about 50s. And the Millwall were in, this was in the old Upton Park, right? And it was like, that was like a lull in the game. And he went, let's keep him in that stand and fucking blow it up. And everyone laughed. And I was like, what is this game? I was like, what? And there was like kids sitting next to me. I was like, what is this game?
I love it, dude. That's that energy. I don't know if I want that energy, but I love that energy. That's hilarious.
I mean, I can't stand Leeds in a lot of ways, but I don't can't stand them that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't blow up Bielsa by any means. I wouldn't mind if they got relegated, but I'm not trying to blow up. I wouldn't advocate murdering fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least not a lot of them. You know, yeah. Just keep it tame. Anyways, yeah, that's. I love that story. I want to get back and go see some more games as soon as I get the second shot. I'll get my ass over there. Boys, it's been real. Anyone else? Freddie, you got any closing words, statements?
This is flown by. I forgot to mention another story, me and James, about Millwall. I'll say this one more before we go.
Yes,
When I took James to the Huddersfield Town playoff semi-final against Millwall 2012 or 11, we lost, right? Their fans jumped on the pitch, charged the steward, and I saw a man charge a police horse. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
He attempted to fly kick a police horse.
And you've seen those police horses. They are massive.
They're massive.
Yeah.
Literally, we sat there for about 30 minutes on because we were the top deck, weren't we? We were the top deck of the stand.
Yeah, we were.
Just looking down on just mayhem. They won the game, Phil. They got to Wembley.
They won the game. Back for an hour.
Yeah. That's what they do when they win.
They tried to break into the away end where we were. We got kept back, right? And then we had to get a coach from the, like an envoy or like an escort from the ground to Canada Water Station, which is about 10 minutes away. I'm not obviously doing Millwall fans a very good service here, but this is a funny story.
Yeah.
So we're on the coach.
We don't know what it is.
We're on the coach and there's a little road outside the ground, which has got like a news agent and a chippy and whatever. And there was like 50, 60 fans like waiting there just in case anyone decided to brave it and walk it back. They were like chucking stuff at the coach. Oh, it was madness. It was madness.
Good, clean family fun.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
I love it.
I can't wait to go to Millwall now.
It's an experience.
It's an experience. Like that's it. How I describe it. It is an experience.
All right. Any closing PR statements? Anything you want to big up yourself on? Any cool achievements you've done recently or any interesting news you've got coming up? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
No, man. I've got, if you want to follow Vent, it's at Vent Help UK on all social media handles. Vent website is www.vent.org.uk. You can find me on Twitter at FreddieC1994. You can find me on Instagram at FreddieC94. You can find the Just Checking In podcast on all streaming platforms.
We could do a little links post on Instagram. Get those handles out for Fred. Watch out for that. We'll get that done.
Yeah, we will. Well, James, that's your job now.
We hired someone to do that. We hired an Addison to do that.
We hired an Addison to do this, and Mr. Addison is now preparing for finals.
Oh,
so
is he already bailed on us?
Somebody else. We never paid.
He's not got time for pro bono work. Down.
That's what it is. We didn't put a down payment down, did we? Oh, fair.
Yeah, I hope he listens to this and he just gets all red in the face. But
no, you should pay him in beers. You should pay him in like cans of beer, like one can per like for 10 posts.
College kids are weird now, dude. They don't like that. They like those white claws.
Oh, what?
The hard seltzer.
Yeah, they're trying to look good.
Are they drinking the hard seltzer?
All right. What about a single scoop of protein powder?
I will trade. That's expensive, but I'll trade.
Yeah, no.
Shit's not cheap. We'll be sure. We need to get someone on our social media. So if anyone, Fred, you can do our social media for us. Anyways,
yeah, dream on, mate.
We'll talk about that after. But Fred, thanks so much for being on the podcast this week.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure. Been a privilege, should I say.
A lot of laughs this week. A lot of fun. James, if you want to go ahead and sign us off, feel free.
I will do, mate. Yeah, once again, thanks a lot, Fred. It's been a pleasure. Trust you to be on the longest pod that we've done. That only makes sense. So thanks a lot, mate, for being here. Phil, once again, always good to see you, mate. Have a nice little chat, have a little ramble about football, have a little rant. Always good to get the boo-hoos out on a Tuesday night. And everyone, the listeners, thank you for listening once again. This has been episode 37. And remember, goals don't move.